Savannah Lee and Kat will tell you the facts from shows on or off Broadway. Your bi-weekly show, follow more to know, listen to what they have to say. This podcast won't run a week with Kat and Slee.
Hello, hello. This is Grace Lazos, the founder of the nonprofit theater company Broadway Bots. We are the first fat-positive, size-inclusive performing arts organization in New York City, and we are dedicated to doing all we can to end fat phobia in the performing arts. Our first fully staged production is coming to the Crane Theater at the end of April, and we're inviting you. Come see Andrew Lippa's The Wild Party April 28th and 29th at 7 p.m. or April 30th at 2 p.m. For behind-the-scenes footage, previews, and early access to tickets, subscribe to our Patreon. For more information on Broadway Bods, check out our website. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. I'm JoJo Siwa as Maisie LaBird in the non-union national tour of Seussical.
I hate that. And I'm Sarah Brightman as Carlotta in the first regional production of Phantom of the Opera.
And this podcast won't run a week, your bi-weekly musical theater podcast where we talk about musicals. And guys, Phantom of the Opera is closed.
It closed. It's so weird.
It is so weird. But I'm also thrilled.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled.
I mean, I don't know if I'm thrilled, but I am like, well, okay, yeah, you know.
It was time. Like,
I know, but it's still just like an end of a legacy. Like, it's weird. This musical theater staple is now closed. I mean, it's just crazy, you know, that there are generations of people who will never be able to see the original production of Phantom of the Opera. It kind of felt like it was something that you've never seen it.
No.
Oh, well.
The only time I was even a little interested in seeing it was when Sierra Boggess and Norm Lewis was in it.
Which I did get to see that production. I
mean, yeah, like that's the one to fucking see. I just am not super interested. I like Phantom of the Opera, the show. I think it's a very fun show. I love the songs no one else cares about. I love the Notes songs, especially. I don't like Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I also think that it's been so long, and they weren't elevating the show in any way to keep up with the fact that it was 2023, right? They weren't, you know, making adjustments or anything. It was the same show as it originally was, and there are other shows that are coming out that I would be more interested in seeing. And like, let's make room for the younger up and coming musical theater composers to be on Broadway.
Yeah. No, I mean, I completely agree with that. And I'm not saying it should have stayed open. It's just to say that I'm like thrilled that it closed. Like, no, I'm not thrilled because I'm so excited to see what's to come. And all of the facts you said, absolutely. But the one that I disagree with is the fact that it is still that original 80s production. That piece of history is now just gone, and it's weird. And it's kind of like that Broadway staple that I guess just we assumed would all be there, and it's just an end of an era, and it feels, I don't know, it's right. I think it's a rightful thing to mourn and then, you know, be excited for what's to come.
There is a clip of a recording of Andrew Lloyd Webber that I saw of him being like, oh, well, I, you know, the Phantom isn't going to like this. And I'm like, I just know he is going to mount another production of Phantom of the Opera, but with a smaller orchestra, a smaller cast. It's just going to be.
Right. And, like, and that's not the original production, right? Like, that's, again, it's like this. I mean, so yeah, Phantom, you know, Phantom is a show that people, if you haven't seen it, like, it is boring. There are pieces of it that it's like, okay, this scene can be cut, like, sure. But that massive orchestra, and it is one of his great pieces. Like the music is beautiful. It is a classic for a reason. And what other like show are these Broadway sopranos going to be able to go into? Like there's an end of an era for that. Like this musical theater opera sound, you know, like there's really no there's I don't know where they're going to go. I'm sure there'll eventually be something, but maybe there won't, you know.
I mean, if Sweeney runs for a while, then they can all just play Joanna.
Yeah. But that's not the same, you know?
No, not even close.
Yeah. So it's just, it's an end of an era is all, sure. You know? And it makes me, the show that I really think should close is Chicago. Like, you want to talk about
100%. Tired. 100%. I agree. Yeah. If I were president of the United States, my first act in office would be to close the Broadway production of Chicago immediately. It's time. It's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand the overhead is low. At this point, it costs them nothing to run it, and it just makes money.
Yeah.
But it's tired. It's
tired.
Let's do something different. If you want to keep like a Fosse show in there, bring in something different. Do Sweet Charity, do Pajama Game, do something else. But like, we've all seen Chicago. We're good.
Well, and that production is boring. Like there's nothing. Like at least Phantom was exciting. Like the chandelier, like the orchestrations, the set, the magic that happens. Like
sure, I mean, the spectacle is
the spectacle of Phantom. Sure. You know, and the music is opera. Like it is. You know, it's musical theater opera. Chicago is tired, outdated Fosse choreography, which is a revival, by the way. It's not even the original production. It's a revival. So that's why the two aren't compared in my brain too.
Sure.
And it's a lackluster revival at that.
Yeah.
The original was flashier.
I agree. I would like to do an audit of all the long running Broadway musicals and be like,
don't close Wicked.
Oh, I would never. I want to see it again.
Yeah. I do think of like my friend Jonathan who did our Phantom episode.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever got to see it live.
Oh.
You know, like they're just like people like that. And like these like teens who like, I mean, think about like you and me, like growing up, if like we like wanted so badly to see Phantom, and like why would we assume it would close, and then we found out it did.
Sure.
That'd be devastating.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just those things that make me like, it's the end of a very big era for Broadway, and it makes me feel like we are now in like it's like I mean, it's the longest running show in Broadway history.
Sure.
Right? Like, we are in the, like, before Phantom era. Now we're in the after Phantom era. Like, and what does that look like?
Yeah.
Back to the Future, the musical, you know? Like, I don't know. It just makes me trepidatious. But
sure. Ooh.
Here a lot. Thank you.
That's an expensive word.
Listen, but I didn't pay a penny. Here Lies Love.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that show? Oh, girl. So Here Lies Love. I don't know the plot very. I know it's about some woman from. I'm gonna stop talking about it because I don't really know exactly how to describe it because I don't know much. I just know it is about a Asian woman, and she's a real human that lived, and she was very powerful, and something else happens, and I don't know her story, but that's the basis, right? Lea Salonga is going to be playing her.
Ooh, love.
Yes. And they're gutting that theater where Fiddler was and Shrek was. I think of that theater as the Shrek theater.
I mean, it's the Broadway theater is the actual name of it.
Yeah.
That's the Shrek theater.
Yeah, that's the Shrek theater. But they're gutting it right now and turning the whole, it's a show that was at the Public, but they're turning the entire floor into a standing room, like, club. And the stage is in the middle, and this audience surrounds the stage. And it's like a dance, it's like a club.
That's cool.
And you interact with the actors. The stage like comes apart and moves, and like they have like neon lights, like they're putting new like light fixtures all the way around the theater. It's gonna be like you're in a club.
Yeah, that is an expensive remodel.
But like, how cool.
Very cool. That's very cool.
I would
definitely want to go see that. In other news, I saw Shucked on Broadway. And it was very funny. My mom is gonna love it. She is gonna absolutely love it. And I think the songs are all very catchy. It's very fun. It was very obvious to me they weren't written by a musical theater composer, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a like country / pop music writer, which is fabulous. But it was very cute. It was very fun. The marketing is impeccable.
Yeah.
The marketing is so good. Alex Newell can fucking sing. It was my first time seeing them live, and whoo, wow, yeah. the pipes.
I saw them in Once on This Island, which was really exciting. But yeah. That's the one thing I've heard is that Alex Newell can sing. Like, that's the sentence.
Yeah, Alex Newell can sing. I did hear, because obviously they're gonna, you know, try to get Alex that nomination for the Tony Award, right? And there was some conversation about like, well, what category would we put Alex in? Because to the best of my knowledge, Alex is like gender fluid, non-binary. I believe that she uses any pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. I could be wrong. But I think the consensus was they were going to put them in best actor or best featured actor, which I find interesting. But I'm also like, what are we doing?
Isn't the song about
being an independent woman? Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, my original concern when people were like, we should do away with like gendered acting award
categories.
My original initial concern was then every single award is going to go to a cis man.
Yeah, agreed.
Because
it used to, you know. Yeah,
because it fucking used to. And you know, I want to see women and non-binary people and whatever get their flowers too, right?
Well, and I don't think that there should only be one award for best performance of the season.
I agree. I think there should be two. And maybe it's for, you know, just these two are equally good. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not in charge of the categories, but I thought that it was interesting that Alex was going to be placed in best featured actor as opposed to best featured actress. Maybe they think that Alex would have a better shot in featured actor than at featured actress. Because what else has opened this season?
Well, Carolee Carmello,
Kimberly Akimbo opened this season. So Bonnie Milligan might be up for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Bad Cinderella getting nominations, but maybe I'm wrong.
Carolee will get a nomination, probably.
Sweeney Todd, I mean, Gayton will probably be nominated for Toby.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting. But Schacht, if you want to have a lighthearted, fun time at the theater and you can get lottery tickets, do that. I would say I felt like it was well worth the like $40 I paid for a lottery ticket.
Right.
And
Yeah.
that's that.
I'm trying to see it this month before it gets into nom season and all that stuff. And, because that's when things are gonna spike. But I saw, did we talk about that? I saw Kimberly Akimbo.
I don't think we've talked about that yet.
Yeah. I saw Kimberly Akimbo, first time ever seeing Bonnie Milligan live. And it was really sweet. It did not impact me the way it impacted other people, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't lovely and that I had a wonderful time because I really did. I went in wanting it to be, I've said this to a couple people now, but like I went in wanting it to be like super intense and dramatic. And I wanted to have like a visceral experience. And so then when it was just lovely, I was like, well, there nothing really happened. And then I had to like look inward and go, why is it that you either want to be in a like the producer's style comedy where it's like you laugh the entire time, or you want to be in Les Mis? Like you can't, like things can exist in between that and still be fantastic. So I had to go inward and you know check in with myself about that. I was like, ah, that's a sign that you went to acting school. So that was something that I you know learned about myself. But then I thought Victoria Clark was phenomenal.
She is so good.
That was the first time I've ever seen her live too.
I saw her as Sarah Jane Moore in City Center's production of Assassins several years back. And she was amazing. She was amazing. Like that whole cast was really very good, but she was very, very good.
Yeah, she her like physicality of this 15-year-old was just so alive in her. It was really, really cool to watch. She was awesome. She was great. I do have one critique,
Let's hear it.
one big critique.
Let's hear
There
it.
is a moment where we move from the high school into the hospital, and the way they transition from that was the most college movement piece thing I've ever seen.
Oh
And
no.
it was so weird and out of place because they don't do something like that at all throughout the entirety of the show. It's the only time they ever did it. And it was
Okay.
so weird and I actually laughed. And it wasn't meant to be funny.
Sure.
But that was the only thing where I was like, what? Like, it was just so out of place. They literally did a whole like the ensemble was like, ah, like whenever Jenna's going to have her baby,
Oh yeah.
kind of a thing. In the waitress, and they put like the hospital gown on the person going to the hospital, and actors come on in their costumes, no, like trying to cover up who they are. But the hospital gown on the person in slow motion, and they like go backwards to the hospital bed and then lay. It was, and it wasn't
Oh,
meant to be
bummer.
funny. It wasn't meant to be a funny. Like it wasn't a parody of
Yeah,
Waitress,
it was
you
meant to
know?
be like serious. Oh, well, you
And
know,
I
they
thought it
can't
was
all
so
be
stupid.
winners. Every moment
No.
can't be a winner unless it's the
No.
producers, so.
Exactly. Ally Mazzie was amazing. Bonnie
Of
Milligan's
course.
voice is insane. That character is so funny. It was really cool seeing her live. When she came out, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know,
you were like, sign my tits.
Please. Hey, driver, drive this. oh my God. Garrett came to see Stranger Things for the first time since he left this weekend. And amazing. At the end of Barb's turn, he stood up and lifted up his shirt.
Why am I not surprised?
Oh my God, such an idiot. Also, right before I went, friends for life, but what did it get me? Like, in the music, he went, yeah, Barb! And I broke. I was so mad. I was like, Garrett.
You're like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up. Anyway.
Anyway, so speaking of super funny off-Broadway shows, this episode we are finishing up our seafaring month of the Titanic, and we're going to be talking about Titanic.
Oh my God. Titanic. Wow. So I've seen Titanic and Kat has not.
Yes. But I want to.
Yes, as you should, as everyone should.
I love every clip I've seen, especially, I think it's Marla.
Oh my God, Marla Mandel.
She's insane.
The
faces she makes are great. They're very
She's so funny. So this show is currently running. It's in its first year. So it's in its official off-Broadway home at the Darryl Roth Theater. And so, I guess it's still, though, I'm sorry, it's still under a year for its New York run. That's crazy. Wow. Time is moving slowly.
But also so fast.
So, there's not a lot of information on it, is the point of that. Because there's not been a lot of time. But I do have some bullet points about the few premieres that it has had in LA and in New York. And then, I'll do the plot, based off of like what I can remember from it. Cause there's no plot written online.
Of course.
We'll get into why that is. Awesome. So Titanic is an une parodie musicale of Titanic the musical. So there's no plot because it is legitimately a parody of Titanic, and it is the plot of Titanic. But what I think is interesting about this, we're going to go ahead and get into this. It is not billed as un parody musicale.
No.
It is just Titanic.
Yeah.
So, but it is a parody. Like, it is fully a parody. But I think that, well, I think that it was smart of them to not call it a parody. Sure. And I'll stop at that. It is a jukebox musical by Ty Blue, Marla Mendel, and Constantine Rizzulli, I think is how you say his last name. Ty also directs it. Marla Mendel is Celine Dion. Constantine is Jack. Music supervisions are by Nicholas Connell. And it is a parody of the 1997 movie Titanic.
Love.
I found a little information about how it was incepted. Yeah, how it was incepted. And this is from the coverage from the New York Times. Let's see. So I love little facts like this, because every time I watch a show or watch a movie, I always like want to think, I always try to think like, what was the first scene that made them go like, oh, this, I have an idea about this. And like, what was the first scene that started this full journey of this film or piece of theater? And so this story was partially improvised. And they were all drinking at this bar in Los Angeles. Marla and Constantine were, they're really good friends, and they lived in Los Angeles together. And I do want to point out that Marla Mandel is 38 and Constantine is 34. For any of those out there who think that your life is over in your 20s because you haven't made it on Broadway yet. There we go. just wanted to put that out there. So they're sitting in a bar in Los Angeles back in 2016, and they're just shooting the shit, and the both of them are two big Titanic fans, and they do parody musicals in Los Angeles together, and they just started improvising this idea over drinks. And Constantine was like, what if Celine Dion was a character in Titanic? Like, what would that look like? And so then they were like, wait, this is so funny. And so they then were like, wait, we should like actually try to make this work. And Constantine had never written before, and so this was like he doesn't think of himself as a writer, and so this was like a very new journey for him. But he said that he closed his eyes, and then the show was like, there was a draft of the show written, and it only took him a month and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. So they got Ty Blue to come in and help write it as well. And so then and the first scene that they wrote was the opening scene, which is where Celine Dion comes in a trash bag covered in pieces of garbage. And they open this, and they're in a Titanic museum, and Celine Dion comes in this trash bag, but you don't know it's her. And then people are like, what is this homeless person doing here? And then she like pops out of the trash bag and she goes, it's me, Celine Dion. it's so funny. And that was their like first scene that they wrote. They're like, this has to happen. This is how the show starts, which is hilarious, because that feels like, how do we get her in the story? Yeah. The fact that that was the beginning of the writing process for them is iconic.
Celine Dion.
Great. So then the second thought that they had, which I think is important to the story, is that they wanted Celine Dion to narrate the whole show a la Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So
fabulous.
Yes. The trash bag idea of her coming in is also a reference to the witch in Into the Woods, which feels very important as well to the story.
Crucial.
So now let's get into the facts about how they got this on its feet. So they began doing little pop-up concerts in Los Angeles back in 2017. They did a small one-night-only experience concert titled Titanic in Concert, and it premiered in 2017 at the LA Sorting Room Theater. Ty directed, and then Marla and Constantine starred as Celine Dion and Jack. It went great. And then 2018, they brought it to New York for a limited engagement at the Green Room 42. Woo woo, shout out. And that was from August 25th to August 27th in 2018, with the majority of the LA cast returning. So there was Alex Ellis she was Rose. And so she was like one of the people that stayed with it for a while. So she came over from LA to New York.
And it was still the original Celine and Jack.
Yes. So Ty is still directing. Marla is still Celine, and Constantine is Jack. Just for sake of, there's a lot of cast changes that happen in the next coming facts. So just keep it in your brains that forever and always Marla and Ty and Constantine are in the production. They never change.
Got it.
So just for sake of me not having to repeat that for every single stop. Great. Alex Ellis is with us now though as Rose. after the Green Room 42 concert, they then played 6 encore performances from November 30th through December 3rd of 2018. Then something crazy happened. The pandemic happened.
There was a pandemic?
So there was a pandemic. What? Crazy. Crazy. And so we then had to like put this on hold, and we then were just kind of chilling until cut to 2022, June 14th, they officially opened, or they officially started previews at the Asylum Theater downtown, like in this basement, and officially opened the show on June 23rd, 2022. Marla Jack and Alex Ellis returned. Now we also have Frankie Grande in the cast. Ugh. Yep, yeah. Playing Victor Garber. That's the character's name.
Beautiful.
Kathy Deitch as Margaret Molly Brown. That's the Kathy Bates role. Ryan Duncan as Ruth, which is a new character in the Titanic movie, or Titanic show, not a character in the movie. John Riddle as Cal, and Jay Alexander as the Iceberg. You might know John Riddle from Phantom of the Opera, actually.
Oh.
So, huh. Look at that. A few celebrities saw the performances at the Asylum Theater. Victor Garber was one of them. He came to see.
He fucking would.
Yeah, right? he fucking would. And Celine Dion's publicist and manager also attended. So that's exciting.
Now we just got to get Celine in the room.
I know. And I don't know this for sure, so I didn't want to say this as fact. So Frankie Grande came to see Stranger Things, which is super cool. And we got to go see, like, we did like a trade off and we got to go see Titanic. But I remember hearing a little birdie say that Ariana Grande did come see it. And they had to like take her through a secret entrance and like all this stuff. But I don't want to say that's fact because I didn't see anything about that written, which I feel like if they wrote that Victor Garber came, they would have also said Ariana Grande came. Sure. But so who knows?
I would believe that, especially if Frankie was in it. Like, I just don't think she would.
And she loves this kind of. Yeah. So I assume that's correct, but I didn't want to say it was fact. Just wanted to mention that. So the Asylum Theater production closed November 13th, 2022. Cut two. We are now in the Daryl Roth Theater because everyone was like, bring this shit back. We love it. It reopened at the Daryl Roth Theater on November 20th, 2022. So it had such a fast turnaround. That's 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
one person dying in the ring.
Yeah, that's a single ring. That's yep. One ring.
That's one ring.
Wow.
So yeah, so that's a really fast turnaround. And when they came to see our show, they talked about how quick the like rehearsal process was and how they had to like restage things because the stage was so different.
I've only seen one thing at the Asylum, and it was the most batshit crazy sketch show I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, no, the Asylum Theater is like very specific, so I can imagine that it's difficult to like restage something coming from that space.
Yeah, well, the Daryl Roth stage is pretty specific as well, but it's much more classic proscenium.
Yeah.
Yeah, so strange. So it reopened at the Daryl Roth on November 20th. And I can't remember what was in the Daryl Roth before, but there was something.
Sistas?
No, that was at my theater.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Let's see.
I will say that at the batshit crazy sketch show that I saw at the Asylum, one of the crazy batshit things I saw was a man who had an I Heart New York tattoo on his ankle. And then a couple who were definitely doing something in the audience.
That was that,
that
experience?
Was at the asylum. Yep. It was them. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it was while Titanic was running. I think Titanic was like, it was their off night or something. But yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I like to imagine things like that happened at Titanic as well, though, while it was there.
I don't know. People are probably glued. The Golden Girls show.
Slay. Great.
I guess that's the only things. Huh. Those are the big ones. Gloria, A Life. That feels like something I've heard of. I don't know. Anyway.
Anywho.
So there we are. November 20th, and that's where they still are at the moment. They're still at the Daryl Roth. It's a real easy hop, skip, and a jump from the 14th Street subway stop. It is real close. Love so that. It's an easy place to get to. It's in like an old bank building. Like it is very like New York theater, which is that. So fun. I love that. Love that. Also just like a testament to like, you do not have to be in Midtown to like have your show be successful. It's harder. It's sure. much harder, but sure. people will come if, you know.
Yeah.
A big thing about this show too, about Titanic, is that its social media presence was so big. Mm-hmm. So, which is like a brand new, you know, that's a new part of theater anymore, especially comedic theater.
Yeah.
If your social media presence is good, people will come.
Yeah.
So, there's
it's
that.
Better than any other marketing you could possibly do.
Yeah, exactly. So, Alex Ellis, Kathy Deitch, John Riddle, and Jay Alexander all did not transfer to the Daryl Roth, which I found that's not entirely true, because I saw John Riddle when I saw it at the Daryl Roth.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe he came back while I was there?
I saw it when it hadn't opened yet. I think it was still in previews.
Oh. Maybe they were having, I don't know, maybe they were having like a call out situation.
Maybe. Well, I also wonder if they just hadn't, like maybe they were like, we're not going to transfer, but we'll do the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Until they're ready.
Yeah. That would make sense.
Because I also saw Desiree Rodriguez, I saw her first night as Molly Brown.
Wow.
Yeah. She had just joined the cast.
Wow.
So, anyway. I mean, like, it's such a fast turnaround that that wouldn't surprise me that that was.
Neither.
So, who did join the cast, though? Carrie St. Louis joined as Rose, who is amazing. Desiree Rodriguez as Molly Brown. Russell Davids as Cal, Ken Wolf Clark, and Yvonne Hoyles also joined the cast. Special note that Rosé took over for Victor Garber on January 26, 2022. You know Rosé from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, and from Stephanie's Child. Is that the name of that group?
Stephanie's Childs, I think. Right?
It's the group with Laguna Blue and
Jan. No.
Jan.
Yeah, Jan.
Yeah.
Jan, yeah. March, and then March 8th, they announced that they would be extending until September 10th, 2023.
I gotta go.
You gotta go.
I gotta go. Yeah, I wanna go. Maybe over this summer. I'll put in a little more active effort.
Yeah, no, it's... You should.
It feels so up my alley. Oh.
Yeah, no, it is amazing. So the big musical numbers that are all of the musical numbers, I'll just say, because every Celine Dion song is a big musical number, is A new day has come. This is not in order. This is in alphabetical order.
Sure.
A new day has come, all by myself. Love. Beauty and the Beast.
Love.
I drove all night.
Love.
I surrender.
Love.
I'm alive.
Yes.
If you asked me to. Obviously, my heart will go on.
Of course.
River deep, mountain high. I'll get to that. Yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Seduces me.
Okay.
Taking chances.
Ugh.
Tell him.
Yes.
The prayer.
Okay.
To love you more.
Okay.
You and I.
Mm-hmm.
Where does my heart beat now?
Okay.
And who let the dogs out?
I didn't realize Celine Dion was on that.
I don't remember. I don't think she is.
But I think they're like, we have to include Who Let the Dogs Out. We have to.
I forget why. Maybe there was like a joke. I can't remember, but maybe there was a joke where she was like, I love this song or something. Because there were like things like that that happened.
Sure.
So strange. Because this didn't even come out when Titanic came out. Who Let the Dogs Out came out in 2000.
Yeah.
So whatever. I love it. I love it. Great. So that's like the facts of Titanic.
Love. What a ride.
What a ride. Okay. Little things that I didn't mention that I want to go ahead and say before I get into the very clunky plot that I'm going to try to give you. There is a character called the Iceberg. And you don't know who plays the Iceberg until they come out. So that's all I'm going to say until I get to that part in the plot. But just know that the Iceberg is a character.
Okay.
Ruth is a new character. And Ruth is, I almost said Carrie St. Louis' mom. Ruth is Rose's mother. Okay. And is a new character in this plot.
Mm-hmm.
Played by a man. Mm-hmm. Or a cis person. Mm-hmm. Cis male person. It's not a man in a dress trope. It is, quote unquote, is, but it's not like they're fully dressed in a dress. They have like a seagull hat on, and I can't remember. I think they also play a bird. So they like wear a seagull on their head, and then they're in like a t-shirt and pants. They're the only one on stage that's not in
like
full attire. It's a joke. It's like they're the only, I can't exactly remember how that joke is executed. But anyway, I wouldn't change that character for the world. And I'll just say that.
Okay.
And we'll get into that later.
All right.
I think those are the only big things I wanted to note before I went into the plot. Yes. Reminder that Victor Garber is the character's name, not the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, Luigi, the character from Mario, is also a character in this.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Titanic. Of course. Right. So, as you can see, we're already in, like, a crazy, like, how is this an all play in?
Mm-hmm.
How they do it is so intelligent. And so simple. It is just the fact that that's how Celine Dion remembers it. Cute. So everything is justified because we are in underneath the retelling of Celine Dion's view of it. So anything could happen, right? Yeah. So she doesn't remember the captain's name. She just knows him as Victor Garber. Like things like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, that's the world we're in. So you enter the theater. the heart of, what is that called? Not the heart of stone.
Oh, the heart of the ocean or whatever.
Heart of the ocean, yes. Is ginormous, like bigger than my torso, and is hanging from the ceiling.
Like a little disco ball.
Like a disco ball.
Amazing.
Yes. So that's how you enter the space. And then everyone comes on stage and they are, you're also this, it's interactive in a way. So like there's a section of the audience that's very close to the stage so that actors can interact with those audience members. They're not on stage. Yeah, right. They're not on stage, but they're close. And the theater is in a proscenium style otherwise. The actors come in and they are in modern day and they're in a Titanic exhibit. And you're being taken through by a tour guide. And then all of a sudden, here comes this sack of garbage. And you're like, what is this? And everyone is confused. And then she reveals herself to be Celine Dion. And everyone's like, Celine Dion, what are you doing at this Titanic exhibit? And she says, I want to tell you how it actually happened, because this is not how it happened. She goes, I was there the night that Rose and Jack. Yeah. So she's, everyone's like, but you weren't alive. She goes, ah, but yes, I was. I don't know.
Like, already I'm getting Aida from this opening scene.
Work. I mean, listen.
Whatever the song is, like the past is another world or whatever.
Yes, yes.
That's where we are.
That's where we are. That's where we are. So, we are in the world that it's like, well, and what I remember being like confused as like, I don't understand, like, she's not old enough to be on the Titanic. What is this joke going to be? Again, it's just that she has just decided that she was on the Titanic. Like, that is the justified joke. And it is, they lean in so hard to it that you as an audience member suspend your disbelief and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like it's a real masterclass in like how to make comedy like this work.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so that's where we are. And she is our host for the evening. She speaks directly to the audience. She is a narrator. She is telling the story of Jack and Rose and how their true story played out, because the movie got it wrong.
She would know.
She would know because she was there. Yeah, she was on the Titanic. Also, just note, I don't know if people are confused about why the title is Titanic or not, but it's because that's how Celine Dion pronounces it. So,
yeah,
great.
Of course,
I just,
she's French Canadian.
Yeah. So. I was on the Titanic. Yeah. Anyway, Marla Mandel does an amazing impression of Celine Dion. Like, it is so great. And I do want to say, and this made me feel good as an actor, that there's a note in her, again, whenever they were developing it, that when they did their first concert in LA, that she said, like, I did not do a good job as Celine Dion. Like, my impression was not good. So it's like the time it's taken to like flesh it out and it to be as like in her body and as kind of flawless as it is. And it's still a parody, right? Like, she is doing a parody of Celine Dion. So it's not like she's like this spot on and, I'm doing an Oscar winning performance of her life story or something, but yeah. It is a very good impression. Has taken time, and that's, I thought it was really cool to hear. And so, anyway, she, I guess I say that one because it's like, she did not come up in her life being like, I'm going to use the Celine Dion impression in some way that I have in my back pocket. She had this idea and then said, I'm going to get a Celine Dion impression.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't shy away from work that you maybe are like, I don't have an impression, or I that's not in my wheelhouse.
Doesn't matter.
Just jump in. This is also a podcast of like learning how to love yourself, I think.
It's a musical theater self-love podcast.
There we go. So now she goes, I'm gonna tell you the real story of the Titanic to these museum goers, right? So Jack and Rose come on, and already you are in a land of heightened reality. Like, everyone is heightened, everyone is like stepping in and like posing and doing all these things, because again, it's like a Celine Dion music video, very dramatic. You meet all the characters that were on the Titanic, including Luigi, because that's what she thinks is reality. The plot is exactly the same as the Titanic movie, exactly the same, except for the fact that we have Ruth, who is Rose's mom, and she is so disapproving of everything that Rose does, and she really wants her to marry Cal, and also she is like, so like, I want to have sex with Cal. Like, sure. the whole time. It's great. I'm trying to think of like now where to like hit. Okay, so there, I'm gonna like just talk about interesting comedic moments that stood out to me, because to go over the whole plot is just to say the Titanic movie, because it truly is like,
sure,
verbatim, yeah, the Titanic movie. So we meet Jack and Rose. They do the whole, when they first meet, or whenever they're like falling in love, Celine Dion will come on. And something I will say about like the Celine Dion being on stage the whole time, something I was like going in being like, how are they gonna do this? Like, is she really gonna be on stage the whole time? She wasn't. Like, there was a joke where she was like, I have to go to the bathroom or something like that. And she left stage and was gone for a little bit of time. So like, there's moments where the plot just happens. So it's not this like overwhelming, like, okay, we get it, it's a Celine Dion joke, can we just like also enjoy, you know? So they balance it really well.
That's really nice.
Yeah, right. There's also a trio of people who are like backup singers who are in like the ship's crew members' uniforms. So there's a scene though when Celine Dion comes back on stage and she has Jack and Rose like talk to each other, and fully improvised, they do like a scene together, and it is so stupid and so funny. And then for the scene, like whenever they're in the car for the first time ever and they're having sex, they bring on one of those red and yellow kids cars where like you sit, like the plastic kids car.
Yes.
And they simulate in one of those. It's so funny. It's so, so funny.
I would love to have staged that.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's, and that is a good test. Like, that's a testament to like how much the show is like that. Like, there's a lot of like stupid, like, low budget prop action happening. It's great. Another scene to take note of is, there is a song, I don't know Celine's catalog really well. Okay, this was like, you said you do?
I do. My mom,
yeah.
Saturday mornings, you know, I don't know if Jessica is like this, but Jamie, every Saturday morning, up early to clean, she's blasting Celine Dion.
Wow. Love that.
Blasting. So yeah.
Love that.
Familiar.
Love that. My mom was blasting Guns N' Roses.
And that's the beautiful difference between our mothers.
Yeah. Yeah. I did find out recently that my dad loves Celine Dion.
He would.
Yeah.
That
so,
is absolutely in line with who he is as a person.
Yeah. I recently was listening to, this is before I saw Titanic, I just got on the All By Myself train.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it in the car. And I was like, oh, sorry, Dad, I'll turn it. Because when he's driving, he wants something like Darius Rucker that he, like, knows. And he was like, oh, no, don't turn this. we'll listen to this. And I was like, oh, really? My mom was like, yes, he loves Celine Dion. I was like, what? But anyway, I was listening to it and he was like, God, she's just so vocally healthy. That's my funny. Father.
It's so funny.
So anyway, back to the show. So Victor Garber, something about the Victor Garber character, played by Frankie Grande and then, you know, replaced by Rosé. So we already know that we are in a, like, very, like, over-the-top, like, flamboyant universe for this character. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most challenging, in my personal opinion, one of the most challenging roles in the show for this one song specifically. The reason I say I don't know Celine Dion's catalog very well is because I don't know what song these characters are singing. I can't remember which one it is because I don't know the catalog. Sure. But comes on stage doing an Irish accent, and Victor Garber's character is the captain of the ship from the movie. So is the captain with this, like, you know, sailor's wheel, and does a very high, obviously, because it's Celine Dion, song, belting their ass off and tap dancing, like Irish jig tap dancing.
Jesus.
At the same time. It was so spectacular. And I saw Frankie Grande do it, and Frankie Grande was amazing. I did not know that he could perform like that. Like, I did not know. So good. And that's just, like, one of those, like, I left the theater and, like, did not stop thinking about that.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's a crazy one. So I'm sure Rosé is going to be, was, or is, I guess, incredible. Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then another scene that I want to take note of is, so let's cut to Ruth, the mother of Rose. She decides to break up with Cal.
Ruth is breaking up with Cal?
No, Rose decides to break up with Cal.
Okay.
Yeah. Like in the movie. Ruth is not having it. Ruth doesn't have a song the entire time. But she has this huge moment on stage where she just loses her marbles and yells at Rose and has a, like, tantrum on stage, goes to the pianist, takes their sheet music off their stand, rips it, yells at the audience. It is like, it was a, and there was, like, a monologue as well written within it. The audience, when I saw it, it was the only time in the whole show that the audience stood up and clapped when they finished.
Wow.
I have never laughed like that at a non-musical moment in a musical. And then that's where the standing ovation came. That was a first for me.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's crazy. And I do, and I say that I wouldn't change it for the, change that character for the world, because it is a cis man playing it.
Sure.
Or I shouldn't say it is a cis man. It is a male presenting person.
Sure.
And so, yes, the joke is, like, woman in dress, but the actor, his name is, Russell Daniels. A plus size man. He's the replacement. Ryan Duncan originally did it. I didn't see Ryan. I saw Russell Daniels. So funny. Like SNL should pick him up as soon as possible.
Sure.
So funny. And just, like, again, like, just stopped the show. They had to, like, sit and wait for the audience to stop clapping.
What a gift.
Yeah.
For that actor. Like what a gift to have that moment to show
what
they are capable of.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then, you know, they finally got them to settle down, and the actor had this great moment where he was like, I haven't had a song yet. And he was gonna, because he tried to start singing, I haven't had a song yet. It was so funny. So that was just like, in my opinion, one of the best parts of the show, and the whole show is already so amazing.
Yeah, wow.
Then another notable moment is the iceberg. So the iceberg, they finally hit the iceberg. Okay, I'll go ahead and talk about the iceberg, but then I want to talk about one last thing that happens, I think, before the iceberg happens. So the iceberg hits.
Yes.
And the whole cast is like, whoa, you know, to one side, whoa, to the other. And then who do they get to play the iceberg? The whole time they're like, oh, there's an iceberg coming. Then Celine Dion's like, ooh, an iceberg. Like, when is that going to happen? So they've teased it the whole time. And then Celine Dion goes, and the iceberg was and is my friend, Tina Turner. And so then that's when River Deep, Mountain High, it's another man in a dress moment, but it is, it's the person who plays Luigi comes in and plays Tina Turner and does River Deep, Mountain High. And it was electric. Like, it,
of course,
it was so good.
I will say, my God. When you were like, there, someone plays the iceberg, but I'll come back to it. Part of me was like, what if before every show, they like have a little hat and everyone has to draw like slips of paper, but one of them has like an ice cube or something drawn on,
yeah,
it, and then they're like, okay, I'm playing the iceberg tonight, and so we don't know who's playing the iceberg. We don't know.
That would be so funny.
Yeah, but they have to, I don't know, do something to be like, I'm the iceberg, surprise.
Yeah, I like that would be funny. Oh my God. It's so funny that it's Tina Turner, because it's like, what? Like,
yeah. Huh?
I know. So much of the show is that. It's like, huh? So anyway, so that is like the, you know, thing of note for the iceberg, which is so funny. And again, so electric. The last thing that I want to say about the plot, and then I want to get into like some things that make this show like really special on top of the comedy, is that there is a scene where Cal and Jack have to fight for Rose. Yes. Celine Dion comes on stage and says, what they did, how they did it was, oh, this might be when, okay, sorry, I'm putting together where I think a song comes in. Celine Dion comes in and goes, you have to do a lip sync for your life. And so they come on with like these stupid, like huge wigs and like corsets, like, and they lip sync for their life. And I think this is when they do Who Let the Dogs Out.
Amazing.
I can't remember for sure, but I do think that's where this comes in.
Oh my God.
It was so funny and so gay. Like, the whole show is so gay and it's, yeah, so funny. And I had a friend, Titanic is a show that you want to come drunk to. Or high. I was high as a fucking kite. And I had an amazing time. Like,
I think that, and obviously I haven't seen this show, but I really think that they've kind of captured, like, lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, only things that are created, like, this organically can, yeah, be. Of just like,
yes,
friends dicking around and being like, what if Celine Dion was like on the Titanic?
Yeah.
Like,
well, it feels like maybe my brain was in this because Carrie St. Louis was on stage, but it was a a Rock of Ages type of show.
Yeah.
Where it's epic music mm-hmm. and a really funny book. I mean, like, Rock of Ages is not nearly as funny as this, but...
Sure.
It's the same kind of, like, audience is with it kind of a show, you know? Yeah. It attracts a party crowd.
Yeah. It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Exactly. And what I found really, so the thing that I wanted to talk about, that the thing that I think made it work the most, even above the comedy, you always hear, like, you don't want to like over, how do I say this? You don't want to give away too much, and musically is what I mean by that. So, like, belting all the time, you know, like,
yeah.
So when you look at Celine Dion's catalog, you're like, how do you write a musical with Celine Dion's music? Because all she does is give up everything in every song. Like, it's what makes her so epic. Like, every song is like the big finale song.
Mm-hmm. They're all 11 o'clock numbers.
All 11 o'clock numbers. I don't know how they did this. One, My Heart Will Go On is the finale.
Of course, as it should be.
And it is, like, you know, everyone's waiting for the song. They, like, hint towards it. They tease it. And then everyone on stage sings it together. And it is heightened in a way that none of the other songs are. Like, I don't know how they do it. I guess, like, the music supervisor, like, just kind of enhanced it even more. Like, it was crazy. And there was, like, all of these things that I was like, how are they going to make this work? And then they did it. Mm-hmm. It was so great. But on top of, like, how do you make all of these songs not feel like, oh my God, we get it, you're, like, belting. Celine Dion's music is so good that you don't have to worry about it, I guess. But every single song, you had these amazing singers up there. And the sound design was so good in this space that it just, like, it hit your bones. Like, it was very well sound designed. Mm-hmm. And then it was, like, very, very, very well sang. Mm-hmm. It just checked every box. It's a great musical.
Yeah. I really want to see it. I think that things like this only come around so often.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you can see it, it's like catching lightning in a bottle, you know?
Yeah.
It is
one of those shows that I walked out being like, I in, like, 5 years will get to say I saw the original.
Yeah.
You know, I got to see the original. Thing. Yeah. It felt like people getting to say, like, I got to see Rock of Ages when it was on. Like, it's maybe it's not gonna be, like, impactful, like, you know, Wicked or anything, but it will be that show that people talk about for years and be like, oh my God, you got to see that when it was in.
I love it. What a treat. What a delight.
It was so good. It was, like, it has been one of my favorite theater experiences for a long time. And yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah. Since you don't know this show super well, mm-hmm. because you haven't seen it.
Sure.
And there's no, like, recordings or anything. How are you thinking about dreamcasting this?
So, for dreamcasting this, I don't know what arrangements they have done of the Celine mm-hmm. Dion songs. I am going strictly off of what songs that you have told me are in the show. I was literally mm-hmm. casting this as you were telling me about it.
Yeah, sure.
And who I think would just be interesting to see in this kind of a
environment,
who I would be interested to see. And I have a Celine, a Jack, and a Cal. And I feel like Rose, maybe it's different when you see the show, but because, like, Carrie St. Louis or St. Louis has played her, I feel very like open to any rose, if I'm honest. Like if you can yeah. sing it, I'm pretty open about it. But I do have the other three who I would consider like leads.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? How are you?
I'm going to be fully honest with you. I did not Dreamcast this show.
Great.
Because it is not a show that I'm interested in seeing anyone that I... It doesn't feel like a Broadway
no.
show to me. Like, I don't want to see... Like, I don't want to see... I can't think of anyone right now. I don't want to see Betsy Wolfe in this. No. You know, like no. Carrie St. Louis is like the closest I want to get to making this Broadwayified, which it seems like such a fucking like horrible thing to say, but to no. dreamcast people in it, I'm like, I want to see my friends in it. Like I want to see Garrett.
Absolutely.
So that's why my true dreamcast who, and I could name names, are people that like people that I are, if you're going to listen to this in a couple years, maybe you'll know them, you know, like I want to see, Garrett as Jack.
Yes.
I want to see Mason Hensley as Cal.
Yes.
I want to see me as, I don't know. I would love to be, I think I would be cast as Molly Brown, but like, I obviously would want to be more of like a Celine, but I don't think I'm a Celine. Sure. But I want to see like Rachel Lynde as Celine.
100%.
I want to see Harley as Rose.
Sure.
Harley Seeger, Nancy, as Rose. I want to see Jameer as the iceberg.
Absolutely.
I would also see Garrett. Garrett can play any of the men in this track. Okay. I actually know where I want to put myself. I want to put Garrett as either the Frankie Grande character, Victor Garber, or Jameer as Victor Garber. I want to see Garrett as Cal, or I want to see him as Jack. I want to see Garrett as Celine Dion. You know, like, yeah. I want all of it. And I want to play the Rose's mom, Ruth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me, I was trying to imagine if this show had been written and produced years ago, who do I know now that's established that mm-hmm. I think would have been interesting to see in something like this?
Absolutely.
And so for Cal, I was like, Mark Kudish feels like yeah. very, it feels like something he would do.
Yeah.
He's a little bit weird, and I love that about him. And also, mm-hmm. bitch can fucking sing. Yeah. I do also think there is a guy who is in Shucked right now who I think would be interesting as Cal. His name is John Bellman.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a character named Grody, who is, he is a doctor from Tampa. And that's all I'll say.
Love that.
He's very funny. He's very good. And I think he would be an interesting Cal. For Jack, like, honestly, I am, if I can be 100% honest, I'm more interested in seeing, like, improv people
yeah.
in this than, like, traditional the problem, actor singers.
The problem with that, though, is the singing voices.
Exactly. You need to have the singing voice.
That's why Garrett is perfect for this show.
Exactly. So based purely on singing voice, a young Aaron Tveit, I would love yeah. to see Jack.
I literally, like, so when you said, like, I'm looking backwards in people's career, Aaron Tveit was the first person I thought of, especially seeing what he does on Schmigadoon.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I think that he would be very, very interesting.
He's perfect for that part. Like, he's yeah. very, very good for that part.
Very, very good for that part. For Rose, I do think it can kind of be any.
She's funny. She has
to be funny, though. Exactly. That's...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm thinking, looking back, like a Laura Bell Bundy type.
Yeah.
Maybe like a younger Annalee Ashford, even. But yeah. First thought was a Laura Bell Bundy.
Laura Bell Bundy's a great choice.
Yeah. And then for Celine, my first thought was Rachel Lynde.
Like, yeah.
If I could She's 100%. Like,
she is perfect for that part.
I know that it was written for Marla, but it feels like it was written for Rachel to me.
Yeah. Well, Rachel is a Marla. Like, yeah. And I mean, again, like, Marla's 38 years old. Like, it's taken her time to get to this spot. Like, because she had to write something for herself.
Yeah.
To prove to people, like, that she has a star quality to lead a show to play fucking Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Like, that's Rachel.
That's
fucking Rachel. Rachel has that power.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But no one wants to put their eggs in a basket that they don't know.
Exactly. Well, it's like we talked about this yesterday of like people are.
I was having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, but people are afraid to make bold and interesting new choices because people are afraid to lose money.
Yep.
But looking back, another person who I think could do it, and I know she can do a Celine Dion impression, is obviously Christina Bianco.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd rather see her as Rose.
Sure. I mean, I think she'd be a great Rose, but
she can do the Celine Dion impression.
She can do a Celine Dion impression, and also, like, I'm thinking before she went viral, she was just doing impressions, like, at fucking the West End Lounge, you know?
Yeah.
R.I.P. But, you know, like, that's the Christina Bianco that I'm thinking of. But honestly, truly, it's Rachel Lynde for me.
It's Rachel. She's the only person that I felt so, her and Garrett are the two people I felt so confident in casting because I'm not interested in anybody else. You know? Well,
it's like it is so deeply necessary that these actors are fucking funny and quick on their feet.
Yep.
They've got to be.
Yeah.
That's just based on me hearing you talk about the show. I haven't even seen it, but I know that that's true.
Oh my God. It's a improv show. Like
it's an improv so show funny with a script, you know?
And it's fast and it's clean. Like it is boom, 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 boom. It's great.
Yeah. I think that they would be great. I mean,
it doesn't stop from beginning to end.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to see it, and going back to Shucked, I think that Shucked, the way that it kind of plays out is it's just joke, 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 like the whole show is just joke after joke, which is very fun, but I'm interested to see how that compares to something like Titanic, which I also feel is like joke after joke after joke. You know?
Yeah, it is not. It doesn't stop.
What a delightful. Oh, yeah. No, I'm so excited to see it at some point. Hopefully this summer. When my life slows down a little bit. So good. And
yeah,
if they do a national tour and Rachel doesn't get seen.
Wait, can you say that again?
If they do a national tour and Rachel doesn't like get at least seen for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be upset on her behalf.
You know what?
And like, I would never even consider being like recast Marla.
No.
No. But I think that it's just a role that is waiting for Rachel.
Well, but there's a track that I don't know if it's going to be recast anytime soon, but there is a track that covers Celine and she's one of the backup singers in the trio.
Yeah.
Rachel would be perfect for that right now, where she like does the backup dancer track. She gets to be in this show and she covers Celine and then jumps into the tour. Like that's
what happened. Yeah.
Cause she's not old enough yet. Like Celine Dion, the character needs to be older. Mm-hmm. I think everyone needs to be older. Like maybe it's just because I saw people who did it who are older, but like our show's very, Well, like, our show's really young. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we're watching a bunch of people who are gonna blow up at some point. But with this show, it's like, oh, these are people who are gonna be in the industry right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're changing the industry.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I just want people to, like, and maybe I, like, look at theater now with a different lens because I'm finally getting older. But I'm like, oh, you have to be older to be in theater. Everyone's older than me. And that's just probably not true. But a show like this feels like you need people who are more solid in their feet because they're a little bit older.
Yeah, they're not as green. And there's nothing wrong with being green. There's lots of opportunities for people who are fresh to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But for something like this, I think it is a much more interesting choice to cast people that have, like, been around and, like, maybe haven't been working as much. Not because they're not talented, but, like, just because there's not been a place for them.
Yeah.
Like, those are the people that I'm more interested in seeing.
Yeah.
As any of the roles.
I completely agree with you.
I love Bonnie Milligan. I'm not really interested in seeing her in Titanic, personally. You can disagree or you can agree. Whether you do or not doesn't matter to me. But personally, right. I love her. I'm just not interested in seeing her in Titanic. I want to see her do so many other things, though.
I'd see her do a concert version of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I would see her do a Celine Dion concert. Her and Natalie Walker doing a Celine Dion concert? Yeah.
Yeah.
Send me the fuck up. Oh, someone doing a Practical Magic parody musical, but it's all with Faith Hill music.
That's fun.
Because the song is in the movie.
I know.
That's Titanic, baby.
This is like the first jukebox musical since, I think, Mamma Mia that is justified.
Yeah.
Because Celine Dion's music is so epic. It, like, matches a, like, I can no longer speak, I have to sing feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's, oh, it's so good. It's so exciting.
I can't wait to see Titanic with you. Because I'm going to go back with you and watch it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll go. So that is all for Titanic.
That's Titanic. I wish I could have given you a cleaner rundown, but
it's the movie.
It's the movie. And I don't want to ruin too much. I feel like I already ruined some of the best parts, but
it's okay. It's very fun. I'm very excited to see it. I'm even more excited to see it now.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I wonder if they'll do a cast recording.
I hope so. I really do.
I wonder if there's, like, different rights you have to have. I can't believe they got the rights to Celine Dion's music. Like, the amount of money they probably had to pay. Like, I don't understand how they did that.
No, I don't either. But I do feel like Celine Dion seems like the kind of person who'd be like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, she wouldn't fight too hard for it. But, what a treat. What a delight.
Yeah.
Is there anything, before we end the episode, is there anything you would like to share with the audience?
Are you leading me to say something?
I'm just asking, like, do you want to remind people about Stranger Things?
I don't think I've said that we got extended. Did I?
I can't remember. Maybe.
I can't either. Well, we were, Stranger Things has been extended to August 13th, which is so exciting. I don't remember if we've talked about that yet. Feels like a million years since we've done this.
I know.
But that's so exciting. So please get your tickets. It's a great summer show.
Oh, it's a great summer show.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of fun. You'll see me sweating my balls off in my winter clothes.
Yep.
So yeah, that's that. Also, I'm still open to teaching and coaching auditions and private lessons and helping you design your resume, helping you with headshots. Like, if you need to sit down and have an eye of someone who doesn't know you or you don't know them, to check out your headshots, I'm your gal. I have a website, Coaching with Slee. It's on my Instagram.
please come.
Please come. Also, like, as someone who has known you for a very long time, like, you taught me how to make a resume. I had no idea how to make an acting resume until I saw yours, and then I went, oh, okay, cool. Like,
work.
I fully, like, my original resume, I fully stole your format. And I was like, that looks good. She
love it.
She
knows steal what it.
She's doing. So absolutely resume stuff for sure, headshot stuff for sure. But like as an audition coach, like you've only really helped me with like a couple of them, but like I think it's invaluable to have like just another set of eyes on what you're doing to give you the insight of like you can make new choices and what those new choices could be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's invaluable to have someone there. And so I would highly recommend anyone who's listening, who is in need of an audition coach or someone to look over their resume or all of the myriad of fantastic things that you offer, you should reach out because I think that you'll only gain things from it. You won't lose anything from it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. You might lose some money because I will ask you to pay me, but
sure.
You'll only gain other things.
Exactly. I believe that it's well worth the cost.
Personally. And you know what? I am going to also help you not lose as much money because if you use the code in the podcast description, then you will get a discount and yeah, there's that. Yeah. If you listen to this podcast, you'll get a discount.
Yeah, but only listeners.
But only listeners.
Fabulous. Wild Party with Broadway Bods opens in 10 days from the time we're recording this, April 28th of April. This show is gonna be really good, you guys. These actors are very good. Like the vocals are batshit crazy.
Oh, that's so exciting.
They've been working so hard. And it's gonna be a good, sexy little time. So if you are interested, ticket information is in the description of this episode, along with ticket information for Stranger Things.
Yes.
In the description of this episode, like please buy your tickets, like come support, you know, new and upcoming theater companies and artists. Like it's so important.
Yes.
And Broadway Bods is such a great group and they're really doing fabulous work. Not just, you know, performance wise, but also like in their mission statement of wanting to create like a body positive, like fat friendly theater company. Like it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And it's much needed. Additionally, I'm in Assassins at Gallery Players.
Woo woo!
Basically, whole month of May, May 11th through the 28th, I think. Come see me shoot at a bucket of fried chicken.
Yes.
Just be the funniest little West Virginian woman you've ever seen. You've never done anything wrong, ever.
Ever.
She's a good girl.
Typecast.
Always typecast. The cast in that is also incredible. Come see it. It's going to be fun. And yeah, that's it. We'll be posting our May episodes on the last day of April. So feel free to wait. Check that out. And I think that's it. Ding.
Ding. Oh. Oh my god.
So thanks for listening. We love you guys and we'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to This Podcast Won't Run a Week. If you'd like to support us, be sure to rate, review, follow, like, and subscribe wherever you listen. If you're interested in additional very cool content, you can head over to patreon.com/thispodcastwon'trunaweek. You can check out all of our social media information as well as performance links in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening. We love you lots. Goodbye.